606 to talk, 107.3 FM, WBRP. Good morning, everybody. Brian Haldane here with you. Taylor Sharp producing. You've got us for the next 2 hours this morning, and we thank you for joining us. Glad you joined us this morning. This morning especially, as it's an absolutely jam-packed show today. Jacob Hester is going to have sports coming up here in about 10 minutes. Franz Borchardt's going to join us on the back half of this hour. A couple of different things we'll be talking about with Franz, not the least of which is, where I want to start is, giving police officers permission to just dig through your phone. How much sway do police have before you give them permission? And do you have to give them your password? We're also going to talk about Alabama's new chemical castration law with Franz. That's coming up at 6:35. Coming up at 7:15, or 7:17, technically, Tanner McGee. He's a state representative out of Houma. I'm psyched for this interview, and here's why. He was like the rock star of this latest legislative session. Using Deepwater Horizon funds to pay for infrastructure projects, not the least of which there is the Highway 415 connector over in Port Allen. Also making Uber and Lyft statewide. Tanner McGee was at the front of both of those battles and won both of those battles along with a handful of others. So going to talk with Tanner McGee at 7:15. And, of course, 7:35, we talk with Congressman Garrett Graves. But that's all to come later on in the show. Right now, we start, as we do every morning, with Top Stories and Trending.
Now, Top Stories and Trending, keeping you informed on the stories people will be talking about today. Number 5.
Top Stories and Trending, of course, brought to you by DaleBuysHousesNow.com. You could turn that ugly house into cash with DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Any house, any condition. Magpie Cafe is closing one of their locations, according to posts on social media yesterday. The downtown location on Laurel Street will be closing its doors Friday. The other two locations will continue the same operating hours without change. Quote, "We are so grateful to the community for the support it has shown us since we opened the downtown cafe almost 3 years ago. We feel that a business and brand is a living, breathing entity. As such, there is expansion and contraction. Now in 2019, consolidation is the best way to provide the best experience to our team and our customers."
Number 4.
Remember that robbery of the Jared store, the Jared Galleria of Jewelry outside of the Mall of Louisiana? Well, police are still looking for two men after that armed robbery, and Baton Rouge Police Department says Baton Rouge Police Department says that the officers were called to the Jared Galleria off Bluebonnet back on May 8th. Goodness gracious, that was more than a month ago already. Well, turns out they have a value on the diamond, on the jewelry now. Over $500,000, $577,159.84 worth of jewelry was stolen from the Jared off of Bluebonnet. Like we said, police are still looking for the two men who are sought in that armed robbery.
Number 3.
BRPD is investigating a double shooting that occurred while two victims were sitting inside a parked car. The incident happened Tuesday night on Ritterman Avenue at Addison Street. Authorities report that two victims were shot while sitting in a vehicle that was parked in a driveway of a home. Both victims received non-life-threatening injuries. They are expected to survive. The shooting is still under investigation.
Number 2.
Taking you down to St. Tammany Parish, where reports say the former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff, Jack Strain, has been arrested on charges of aggravated rape, aggravated incest, and indecent behavior with a juvenile. Strain was apparently arrested by sheriff's deputies as he left his house Tuesday. WWL down in New Orleans reports an investigation into a kickback scheme last year stemmed into a whole new investigation concerning sex crimes. That investigation reportedly revealed two employees of a work release program run by Strain's office claimed he'd sexually abused them. At least four accusers came forward alleging abuse over the course of decades. A former inmate also claimed a teenage Strain sexually abused him when he was just 6 years old. District Attorney Warren Montgomery says his office will release more information at 2:30, or would be releasing more information yesterday. We should have that information for you later on this morning.
Number 1.
Well, the trial that led to the discovery of a huge flaw in the East Baton Rouge Parish jury selection process is in limbo once again. KTBS reports Grover Cannon's trial, which was scheduled to start over in Caddo Parish Monday, is back on hold. The holdup comes after the state Supreme Court overturned a district judge's decision to bring jury selection back to Caddo Parish after it had already been moved to EBR due to fears it could lead to an unfair trial. The state's highest court reportedly ruled the judge had, quote, no basis for moving the selection back to Caddo despite the technical gaffe. The Louisiana Supreme Court had ordered a new trial and jury pool for Cannon in April after concerns raised by Cannon's attorneys revealed a computer bug in EBR jury selection. Court administrators announced in April the flaw meant anyone who turned 18 or moved to Baton Rouge in the past 8 years had been left off the jury pool for years. That has since been corrected. Cannon faces a potential death sentence in the 2015 murder of Shreveport police officer Thomas LaValley. And that's a look at your top stories presented by DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Yes, you could turn that ugly house into cash with DaleBuysHousesNow.com. And not just a home. If you've got a commercial property, a warehouse, a blighted property, if you've got a trailer park, if you've got an apartment complex, a duplex, you name it, check out DaleBuysHousesNow.com. If you've got a damaged home, don't sweat it. Check out DaleBuysHousesNow.com. You don't need to invest in fixing it back up. You can sell it as is. DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Or give them a call at 291-8000 for DaleBuysHousesNow.com. I've got barely 30 seconds to cover what's trending this morning, but a 40,000-year-old severed wolf's head was discovered in Siberia. Yeah, it's preserved by permafrost, complete with teeth and fur. It was discovered in eastern Siberia. Locals are looking for mammoth ivory found the remains on the banks of a river before bringing it to the Mammoth Studies Department at the Academy of Sciences in eastern Siberia. 40,000 years old, perfectly preserved. That's a look at what's trending this morning. It's 6:12. We got traffic, then Jacob Hester next. 6:15 at Talk 107.3 FM WBRP. It's time for sports, and it's time to welcome in Jacob Hester from 104.5, 104.9 ESPN's Hang with Hester. Jake, good morning. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you, my man?
I'm wishing I had one more weekend of baseball or two, but I'm packing up and moving on because it's never too early to start football season.
Yeah, so it's kind of the, when you look at it, man, I really wish I had more baseball to talk about. I wish the Tigers were in Omaha. But if there is one thing that you can look forward to, it is talking football. Everybody kind of craves football talk. You could tell the last week throughout the shows, everybody's starting to get ready to talk college football.
Exactly. And the way the baseball season ended, and then they come back yesterday saying, oh, Cole Henry's fine. He just needed some dry needling, and he was better by Sunday. And I'm like, that's not making it better. That's not easing the pain. It is for Cole Henry's shoulder, but not for the rest of us.
Yeah, like, it's a tough way to go, to lose two very close games, especially the first game when you had a 4-0 lead. And then the second game, you fight back, and you feel like the home crowd's going to get you through, and you fall 5-4 in extra innings. It was a tough way to go out, especially anytime you're hosting a super regional, it makes it a little bit worse when you lose.
Yeah, it is. Because if you're the host, you're expected to win. So we're shifting now to football, and let's go ahead and talk with a little bit of Saints. They brought a guy over from the rugby team, the NOLA Gold, into OTAs, and he's making a big splash right now. How often do we see this happen? Like, I know we're in it, so we see it a lot, but how often does this actually come to fruition where someone can come across from another sport and actually survive?
It's very tough. You root for the guys, though, because it's a cool story and you hope they do well. The 49ers had a kick returner a couple years ago that played an entire season. He was one of the best, you know, rugby players in the world. I think he played sevens, actually. And so you hope they can do it. It's a tough transition, though, man. There's so many nuances of NFL football that you better make sure that you know. And it's tough just coming over from another sport and, you know, really succeeding there. But you hope the best for him. It's a cool story. And, look, it can be done. It's been done before. It's an uphill battle. But, like I said, you should root for the guys.
Normally when we see it happen, and with Tristan Blewett moving from rugby to football, there are a lot of similarities between the sports. But normally when we see it happen, it's one guy playing one sport and goes to a completely different thing altogether, like Tim Tebow.
Right.
Going from football to baseball. And that's where we don't see the kind of success level. So I would imagine similarities in the sport are going to help this guy out a little bit.
You would think so. I mean, look, there is a lot of similarities. There's a toughness about it as well. Like you mentioned, Tim Tebow, like he didn't play baseball since high school. And then you go back, and yeah, you played at a high level in high school, but it's been a long time since you played. And so, look, he'll do a lot of the same. Obviously, you've got pads on in football. You don't in rugby.
Well, it's a completely different kind of hitting, but the condition, you know, conditioning-wise, you're
conditioning-wise, you're good. It's one of those things that 9 times out of 10, when you're a rugby player, they try to put you at running back, and you know, yeah, you can probably run the ball. You can probably do a lot of things there and be successful, but it's, you know, pass protection, it's running routes, it's catching the football. Those are some of the things that those guys typically struggle with and they have to work on.
What's coming up on Hang with Hester today?
Today, so we'll have Austin Bain in to kind of give his recap on the baseball season and look forward to 2020. But like I said, man, we've got a lot of football in the second hour. I've been ready to talk football for about a month, and it seems like everybody's kind of finally getting there as well.
Okay, so if you've been holding back all this time, I can't wait to tune in. 1-3 on 104.5 ESPN. Of course, also available in Shreveport, but I'm not available in Shreveport, so that's a useless promo. Jacob Hester, appreciate the time, brother.
Always, brother.
627 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Brian Haldane here with you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Oh, before I get too far down the road here, we are coming up on Father's Day, and we're about to have our Father's Day, our fully loaded Father's Day giveaway. Check out our Facebook page. You'll see the post about it there. They'll have the link back to register to win. One heck of a prize pack. Because when it comes to Father's Day, you get tired of the necktie and socks. When it comes to Father's Day, there is no one perfect present. So instead of having one perfect present, what we've done is bundled a whole bunch of stuff together to make for the fully loaded Father's Day. Here you go. You can register for the fully loaded Father's Day giveaway. It includes passes to Topgolf, a golf bag, beer from Mockler Beverage, whiskey from Churchill's, meat from Chris's Specialty Foods, and we'll give you a certificate for a new pistol from Bowie Outfitters. Yeah, you want to show Dad some love? The fully loaded Father's Day. I like to play on words, too, because there's both alcohol and firearms involved, so that is fully loaded. Check it out. It's on our Facebook page, and I believe at talk1073.com. You could check it out there. All right, Franz Borchardt coming up in about a little bit less than 10 minutes. Right now, though, how much do you detest the sight of blood? I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a weenie when it comes to blood. I get a little squeamish. Like if I go to donate blood, I have to turn my head when they put the needle in my arm. I do. I'm fine with donating blood. There's no problem with pain. It's just the sight of blood. Not really my thing. Can you imagine if that were your job, though? If that were your job to show up on the scene at the absolute worst time, where people are bleeding and their guts are everywhere, where people are dead. I know I'm being graphic about this. Dead, bloody guts everywhere. If that were your job day in and day out, you would hope part of that job would be counseling. Well, now it is. PTSD has been added to the list of covered injuries for public sector first responders, giving them the ability to get workers' comp coverage for that illness. Bossier City Senator Ryan Gatty wrote the law that was signed by Governor Edwards. He says previous policy made a nightmare situation for many first responders suffering from PTSD even worse.
They see things that people should never see, and they have to battle, and they have to hire a lawyer to get treatment for something that is really obvious.
He's right. The things they see, no one should have to see. The National Alliance for Mental Health estimates 3.5% of U.S. adults suffer from PTSD. Gatty says the old policy was a relic from a time when the importance of mental health wasn't fully appreciated.
Historically, like in World War II, they passed out cartons of cigarettes just to calm people down. But today, we require our first responders to be in tip-top shape. We can't just tell them to suck it up.
The senator added he was shocked during the legislative process because there were still some who said, "What if these guys are faking it?" Who's going to fake that? He asked if there were other ways people could cope with PTSD. Not really. You could put it off. You could bury it down, but it's going to bubble itself back up. Gatty says if you're a first responder suffering from PTSD, take action. Talk to your higher-ups because the earlier you start seeking treatment, the better your outcomes.
Go to your boss and say, "Look, I need help." Those folks are trained to point you in the right direction. And you go to the doctor. The doctor says you need treatment. You can get that treatment immediately.
That is just good legislation. Here's CBS News. Yeah. 637 Talk 107.3 FM WBRP. Good morning. Brian Haldane here with you, everybody. Glad to have you aboard and welcoming in Franz Borchardt.
Good morning.
Hey, Franz, guess what? I got an email yesterday.
What's that?
I got the voicing stuff back from the voice guy. I got the imaging back from the voice
guy.
Very
nice.
So this time next... Oh, and you're...
I'm going to be in trial next week.
I know.
I've got a trial in Clinton, Louisiana. You know, I actually lawyer every once in a while. And
amazing you could squeeze that in.
I know. So, but I'm excited. Legally Served is going to have some what do you call it in the business? A bump music? Or
yes. Awesome. A full-on intro.
Oh, that's
a full-on
awesome.
Open.
We're awesome. Open. Very exciting.
Yeah. Came back in the, got it back from the voice guy yesterday. So that's all in the works. Got a couple of topics to talk about today. Want to start with your rights when it comes to your cell phone and a police officer.
Awesome. Let's
okay,
go.
So you're pulled over. Cop says, "Let me see your phone." Do you have to give it to him?
So we have some good case law on this. We have the Supreme Court saying that if the police don't have a warrant mm-hmm. or
don't have an emergency situation. We call it exigent circumstances. They don't have a warrant. They don't have exigent circumstances. They can't grab your phone and they can't go through your phone.
Okay.
That's the law. That's okay. The law of the land. So traffic stop, cops are like, let me see your phone. You can say, officer, you say this very respectfully, right? You're not going to act like a donkey to the cop. I tell everybody, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But if they don't have a warrant, you don't have to give it to them. Now, if they have an exigent circumstance, like, hey, we're investigating a kidnapping and we have reason to believe that there's information on your phone that we need to look at, well, you may be in a pickle then. But you can respectfully decline and say, without a warrant, I have a constitutional right to not hand this over. Now, if they have a warrant.
Well, first of all, if they have a warrant, things have escalated well beyond the traffic stop.
The poop has hit the fan.
Yes.
Yes. If they have a warrant, you got to give them the phone. Now, what's in question, what's made national news, is the question of, can you be compelled to give them your passcode? Mm-hmm. And it gets even cooler. Face recognition and thumbprint. So iPhones use facial recognition. Certain phones use finger identification. Face and finger, you can be compelled. It looks like what courts are saying is there's no intellectual property behind that. They can lift the phone up, they can show it to your face, and they can open it up if they have a warrant. But what if you have a 4 or 6-digit passcode?
Which I do.
Okay. Some places have said you cannot be compelled to give it. Mm-hmm. And some places, Baton Rouge, we have a judge in Baton Rouge, Judge Higginbotham. This is in the Hazen case. This is in the Knockan case, where he said you do have to give the passcode. Well, okay. What's weird about the passcode? Courts have said, the Supreme Court has said, that cell phones are different. Our lives are contained in these cell phones, okay?
Right.
And the intellectual property contained therein is different. It's different than searching your house, so to speak. Now, that all being said, the passcode is different. Like it's and by the way, we have case law that deals with safes. Like, I have a search warrant to go in your house. There's a safe. I have a search warrant to go inside the safe. I look at you and say, Brian, are you going to give me that passcode or am I going to have to crack the safe? And if you say, I'm not going to give you the password, which you don't have to, then I get to crack the safe, right?
Okay, but at that point, aren't you just being obstinate for no reason?
There may be reasons. There may be reasons. And the bigger issue for us is the FBI, for the most part, has learned how to crack, you know, phones.
I would hope so. They're the FBI. Well,
remember the cold case we had here in Baton Rouge where Hiller Moore was trying to get a passcode from Apple of a deceased victim. Mm-hmm. Right. And remember,
I remember that
Apple
was
like, we don't have to give you that. We're not going to give you that. And so they went back and forth. And remember, the technology back then was such that it was encrypted in such a way that we couldn't get inside of it. Well, now the FBI can get inside of it. In the Knockan case, in the Hazen case, the FBI ultimately was able to hack, break, whatever you want to call it,
sure,
get into the phone to where it became a moot point.
And that's where I want to pick up. We're going to take a break here in just a second. But that's where I want to pick up. If it's a moot point, then what are you fighting here? Because at a certain point, you become the guy who's on YouTube who's just sitting there going, I know my rights. At a certain point, you become that guy, and you end up looking much, much worse with the same result.
Right.
So we're going to pick it up right there. We're checking traffic in 2 minutes right now at 642 at Talk 107.3 FM. 654 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Got about 3.5 minutes left with Franz Borghardt. Franz, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Come in every Wednesday, and I appreciate the time.
I enjoy it.
It's a little bit earlier than most people are out and about. So
I enjoy it. It's fun.
We do talk about some fun things.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're listening on air and not watching on Facebook Live, we talk about even more fun things during the break because, you know, the FCC has no control over us there. Shifting gears from your wallet to, well, the other side of your pants, not your pants. A new Alabama law will require some sex offenders to undergo chemical castration, a forced medical treatment that critics say is both inhumane and ineffective. The law, signed by Republican Governor Kay Ivey on Monday, requires people convicted of a sex crime against a child under 13 to begin chemical castration treatment before their release. They must continue the treatment, which consists of drugs designed to dampen a person's sex drive, until a court rules they can stop.
Right.
Your take quickly, is it good or bad?
So it's not physical castration, so it's probably going to have less constitutional scrutiny.
Yes.
It will be constitutionally challenged. I think the part that bothers me from a constitutional standpoint is the fact that you have to choose. If you choose not to do this, now, and by the way, this is the worst of the worst crimes.
This is absolutely.
Rape, incest.
Yes, yes.
So it's not any sex offense case. This is just the worst of the worst. The problem I have with this is from a constitutional standpoint, is you have to choose between getting out of jail and doing this. If it in fact reduces, and I wonder if that's really accurate, if it reduces recidivism and likelihood of repeat offense, well, maybe it's a good thing. You know, and I think most society is like, well, if these are the worst of the worst, I don't care as much about them and their...
And that's kind of where I'm at. And this is why, see, I don't have a problem with that. You studied law, I studied economics, right?
Right.
Life is trade-offs, man.
Right.
You want out? My biggest problem with it is the fact that we're all taking such shock value out of chemical castration. It's pharmaceutical castration. Now, granted, those are chemicals. But you tell me chemical castration, and in my mind, I'm going to...
Your penis falls off, right? You take it for a little while, but it's not like that, right?
First of all, it would be what's under that. But secondly, right. If you're talking about actual castration, they're removing something. They're physically removing something. Right. This is just disabling it. In the same way that birth control makes a woman not go through the cycle or whatever, or reduces and prevents pregnancy, this prevents you from physically performing.
So I asked at the break. Is it reversible? If you get off the medicine, no pun intended, if you get off the medicine, your parts, so to speak, start working again.
I actually have this here, a little chemical background. Yes, once you're done taking it, it's a slow return to your normal libido.
So I think that will probably help in the constitutional argument for using this, this medicine. So the whole thing is, this is about cruel and unusual punishment. If you I'm not saying it is cruel and unusual, but that's going to be the constitutional challenge to it, right?
Okay, but is it cruel when you look at what the crime was in the first place?
I think it's cruel. It's going to be argued that it's cruel in the sense that it's a physical alteration to your person after you've served a sentence.
Is it a physical alteration? Because it's reversible.
That's going to be the counterargument. Constitutionally, we've always said, you know, physically removing testicles is probably not okay. Well, yeah.
Chemical castration sounds like something a Batman villain would do.
Right, right.
So, all right, it's coming up on 6:58. We're already late for CBS News. Thanks, Franz. 6:54 at Talk 107.3 FM WBRP. Got about 3.5 minutes left with Franz Borghardt. Franz, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. You come in every Wednesday, and I appreciate the time.
I enjoy it.
It's a little bit earlier than most people are... out and about, so
I enjoy it. It's fun.
We do talk about some fun things. Yeah. By the way, if you're listening on air and not watching on Facebook Live, we talk about even more fun things during the break because, you know, the FCC has no control over us there. Shifting gears from your wallet to, well, the other side of your pants, not your pants. A new Alabama law will require some sex offenders to undergo chemical castration, a forced medical treatment that critics say is both inhumane and ineffective. The law, signed by Republican Governor Kay Ivey on Monday, requires people convicted of a sex crime against a child under 13 to begin chemical castration treatment before their release. They must continue the treatment, which consists of drugs designed to dampen a person's sex drive, until a court rules they can stop.
Right.
Your take quickly, is it good or bad?
So it's not physical castration, so it's probably going to have less constitutional scrutiny.
Yes.
It will be constitutionally challenged. I think the part that bothers me from a constitutional standpoint is the fact that you have to choose. If you choose not to do this, now, and by the way, this is the worst of the worst crimes.
This is absolutely.
Rape, yes. Incest.
Yes, yes.
So it's not any sex offense case. This is just the worst of the worst. The problem I have with this is from a constitutional standpoint, is you have to choose between getting out of jail and doing this. If it in fact reduces, and I wonder if that's really accurate, if it reduces recidivism and likelihood of repeat offense, well, maybe it's a good thing. You know, and I think most society is like, well, if these are the worst of the worst, I don't care as much about them and their...
And that's kind of where I'm at. And this is why, see, I don't have a problem with that. You studied law, I studied economics, right?
Right.
Life is trade-offs, man.
Right.
You want out? My biggest problem with it is the fact that we're all taking such shock value out of chemical castration. It's pharmaceutical castration. Now, granted, those are chemicals. But you tell me chemical castration, and in my mind, I'm going to...
Your penis falls off, right? You take it for a little while, but it's not like that, right?
First of all, it would be what's under that. But secondly, if you're talking about actual castration, they're removing something. They're physically removing something. Right. This is just disabling it. In the same way that birth control makes a woman not go through the cycle or whatever, or reduces and prevents pregnancy? This prevents you from physically performing.
So I asked at the break, is it reversible? If you take
it
off,
is.
Okay, so if you get off the medicine, no pun intended, if you get off the medicine, your parts, so to speak, start working again.
I actually have this here, a okay. chemical background. Yes, once you're done taking it, it's a slow return to your normal libido.
So I think that will probably help in the constitutional argument for using this mm-hmm. this medicine. So the whole thing is, this is about cruel and unusual punishment. If you, I'm not saying it is cruel and unusual, but that's going to be the constitutional challenge to it, right?
Okay, but is it cruel when you look at what the crime was in the first place?
I think it's cruel. It's going to be argued that it's cruel in the sense that it's a physical alteration to your person after you've served a sentence.
Is it a physical alteration?
Well, I mean,
because it's reversible.
That's going to be the counter argument. Constitutionally, we've always said, you know, physically removing testicles is probably not okay.
Well,
yeah.
Chemical castration sounds like something a Batman villain would do.
Right.
All right. It's coming up on 6:58. We're already late for CBS News. Thanks, Franz.